This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The gentleman who joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline was the man who did all the work leading you up to it, did a great job as he always does. He's our buddy Chris Rose, NFL Network, Baseball Today on John Boy, and Dugout Discussions, of course, doing all kinds of stuff. Chris, welcome. How are you, bud?
Good, guys. How are you?
Hey, man.
We're well.
Boring draft for the Browns, huh?
There's nothing to talk about, yep, man. I was going to ask you, is either that about University of School getting bumped up to Division II. I didn't know which one I was going to talk to you about today.
Interesting. All right, let's fire away. What do we got?
Browns trade out on number two. Your initial reaction was?
Initially, I was upset. I was disappointed because you go from, and I understand, I'm not saying that I dislike the trade. I'm helping to explain why people were disappointed, in my opinion. You go from Travis Hunter's probably the most exciting player we've had enter the draft in decades. I mean, I can't tell you anybody else that is. I mean, Lamar is super exciting now, and his story was of falling all the way to the end of the first round was remarkable. But I'm just telling you, we've never seen anything like this with Travis Hunter, right, in terms of what he might do, who he is, his accolades in college. And we've had very few guys roll through our organization that have come close to him athletically, right? For those of us that are old enough to remember the trade up to go get Eric Metcalf, we were super excited about him, and he only played on one side of the ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to do that and then draft a defensive tackle, you're like, well, it's different, right? Because you go from the guy who's the most energetic, his jersey sales are going to be off the chart, to a guy who's going to make a handful of plays, although we certainly hope he's going to be great. You know, we have to rely mostly on the TV crews to show us what he does. They're like, hey, look at why Mason Graham is so good. And they'll take us inside the weeds there. So from that standpoint, you're like, whoa. But when it's all said and done, if you really think about it, we almost didn't have a choice. And the reason I say that is the Browns are digging themselves out of a Deshaun Watson-sized draft crater. Not only did it cost us the team $230 million in terms of salary cap, but it cost them six picks. And they have been set back significantly by not having those picks and at least hitting on a few. And so we had to give up the one pick that people coveted. This year it wasn't a quarterback. Usually teams trade up into the top five to go get a quarterback. That was not happening this year. And so we held the most coveted pick for a guy who could be a game changer. So we had to do it.
I said to you, I texted you during the draft. I was like, I said, hey,
you're bugging him while he's working?
I just thought Rich Eisen was super harsh on saying that Browns fans were like through the roof mad about everything. And like, if you're sitting here, I don't know that that was the case. So I thought maybe Chris would have some insight into that. He goes, I don't know. And I don't expect you to know that either. But I thought the answer you gave me back, I said, are you good with this? And you said, I'll let you know next year. And I was like, right. Well, that's a very, very fair answer from Chris.
Yeah, but and I won't even let you know next year, to be honest with you. You know, we all do the same thing because we all love the draft. We want to know what everybody thinks. What did you think of our draft? What grade did you give us? Folks, people grade drafts based on, did you draft for the need that you have? And I'm going to give you an example. The New York Jets, for the third time in the last five drafts, with their first pick, took what they hope will be their future left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
The third time in the last 5 years. So when they did it with Mekhi Becton in 2020, I'm sure they got an A. When they did it again last year with Fashanu, I'm sure they got an A. And when they did it this year, I'm sure they're going to get an A because they're like, well, we have a need at left tackle. Well, if you keep doing it over and over, but have to keep doing it, then that doesn't make it an A. So go back and look at your draft from 4 years ago, and that's when you can grade your draft class. Now, I understand what the Browns are doing. They're loading up for what is expected to be, we can't say it's going to be, it's expected to be a significantly better draft class. But then again, we also thought the same thing in 2017. I've told you this story. People had questions about the three quarterbacks that were eventually taken in the first round. They didn't think Deshaun could throw downfield. They didn't think Mitchell Trubisky had enough starts to prove worthy of being a franchise quarterback. And who the hell wants to take Patrick Mahomes because he plays crazy football?
Yep.
Because next year we can't wait to get our hands on the two L.A. guys, Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. Well, you tell me how that all works out. It doesn't always work. It's not linear with the draft. It is not. So you have to zig and zag, and we just hope that what the Browns have done, which certainly makes sense from where they are as a franchise right now, like we couldn't afford to have nice things with Travis Hunter because we had to give up the one pick that people coveted.
Chris Rose joining us, NFL Network. Most people have been asking and responding to why did Shadur drop? Let me ask you this. Why did the Browns take him in the fifth round?
Because at that point, people can say, well, Puka Nacua was a fifth rounder. Yes, he was. Tom Brady was a sixth rounder, which we had to trade away in order to move up to get Shadur. Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Those are flyer picks. And anybody that tells you differently is either lying to you or you don't understand it. Anybody that's drafted in the fifth, sixth, and seventh, you are hoping. Did you know that last year the Indianapolis Colts made 9 selections in the draft? They cut, after training camp, their fifth, sixth, and seventh rounders. Wow. Anybody make a big deal about it?
Nope.
Nope. Nope. So what we did was we essentially cut our sixth rounder by moving up. We drafted a guy who... I mean, I don't know which talent evaluators to believe anymore. I think what I saw was a guy who's worthy of a second or third round pick. I believed he was going in the first round because that's what I kept hearing. And there were enough quarterback needy teams to the point where it started to make sense. And then I started talking to some guys in the know and they were like, we don't think he's going tonight. Like, wow, really? But it's worth the risk. Because at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, it's a fifth-round pick. And, yeah, could we have done better to get a wide receiver or maybe a safety or an extra offensive lineman? You can make that argument. But what's the most important position on the field? Well, if he works out for you, then you look like a genius. And if it doesn't, then you move along.
Chris, can you set the depth chart for quarterback for us? We're looking for help.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would say right now, if I had to guess, I would say Pickett, Flacco, Gabriel, Sanders.
And you that's concur with what we've been saying.
We said the same thing.
That's how I would guess. And I do think that one of the two veterans will get moved before camp is over or before the season starts. You have to remember last year, the Browns still had 4 quarterbacks on their roster after final cuts. That eventually changed, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, they've kind of gotten themselves, it's not in a tough situation, but they're going to have to figure out how to divvy up all of this. All of this during training camp is going to be really interesting, and the preseason games that I call got infinitely more interesting.
Didn't they, though?
Yeah, they did. They did, and you know, I just want to clarify a few things. There are a lot of people who said, well, look, the Browns could have had Travis Hunter and Shadur Sanders. Folks, you can't do revisionist history with drafts. That is a real dangerous thing. You also can't say, well, nobody was going to take Dylan Gabriel in the fourth round. Do we factually know that?
Yeah, how do you know?
Somebody in the building loved Dylan Gabriel. And I can't tell you who it is, but loved him to the point where everybody's jaw hit the floor when we drafted a 5'11 quarterback at the end of the third round, when there are still obvious needs with this team and players who those of us that are in the amateur scouting department all felt like could have helped the team, right? We don't do this for a living, but the people I talk to who do it for a living felt like there were people who could have helped us. But if you feel that strongly about it, then you go out and do it. We'll know in 3 years whether or not it was a ridiculous pick, or we're going to look back and be like, damn, that guy can really play. The odds are is that no, because if you go back and look at the odds, we went over this last week, the number of quarterbacks taken after night one since 2016 that are starters in this league is small. It's three guys. It's Jalen Hurts, it's Dak Prescott, and it's Brock Purdy. So the odds of one of those guys making it as our starting quarterback based on recent NFL history are not great. But there are guys that have done it.
What do the people who do it for a living who you talk to think of Dylan Gabriel?
I think pretty much what you see, which is he's a really good college football player. And the thing that's terrifying is obviously that he does not meet a prototype. And there have not been a ton of quarterbacks successful at this level who have been 6 feet and under, right? We can only name a few, right? Drew Brees, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history. Yeah. Russell Wilson, early in his career, remarkable playmaker.
Really
his
good.
Ability to keep plays alive and throw the ball downfield is really almost unparalleled. Kyler Murray is just a different talent who at this point, now 6 years into his career, has kind of struggled to make a dent. It's fascinating to watch, but if you're building a franchise, he's not top 10 selection at all.
Maybe Bryce Young finding himself, maybe.
Yeah, right. I mean, jury's out still. Kevin Stefanski said, I have a hard time finding on tape where his stature or lack of stature shows up. And that's a good point. It's not like Oregon was playing non-competitive schools. They played Ohio State twice, and they played Penn State, and they played Michigan, and they played a bunch of teams that sent a lot of guys to the defensive side of the football in the NFL draft. And he was really good. I'm intrigued by him. I want to see if he can make it, and I want to see if when I am down on the field watching him play against the NFL-level talent, whether or not that height deficiency shows up.
Chris, Deontay Johnson coming to the Browns. Your thoughts on that? And let's just see if he can wear if he can go to Cincinnati, he'll have played for all four AFC North teams. But
right.
What can he do for the Browns?
Well, he's got to get his act in order, number one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all I did last year was report about a guy who complained about lack of snaps and stuff like that. He's at a career crossroads. So he has to decide, and he's not a kid anymore. He's in his late 20s. He has to decide whether or not he wants to play football at this level. That's number one. Can you do everything the team's going to ask you to do? And the further you go down the depth chart, the more you have to do. You have to be, can't just be a receiver if you're further down the depth chart. You got to be a special teamer, right? And if he can't either boost himself up the depth chart to the point where he won't be relied on in special teams, or if he can't play special teams, then he won't be on the team, period. So it's up to him.
I loved the idea of drafting two running backs, and yep. I really like the two running backs they drafted because I think they have the potential to be pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I also don't like the idea that maybe it like aces Nick Chubb out of a possible return here.
Uh-huh. Well,
put all that together for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's smart. I thought the running back decision was wise. I know that there was some talk that when we drop back to fifth, and Ashton Gentry was on the board out of Boise State, that would make sense. that hasn't been in this franchise's DNA to draft that position higher than the second round. And I understand it. I think if they feel like, I mean, there's areas where they're going to have to get guys to produce on the cheap. And we have seen a lot of running backs outside of the first round do nice things. Now, people will say, well, what about Jahmyr Gibbs and what he's done in Detroit? Well, they built up that team, and he was like the last piece to drop in. They built up both offensive and defensive lines through the draft. They found themselves a number one wide receiver later in the draft. They moved up 20 spots in the first round to get his running mate at wide receiver. They got their tight end in the second round of a draft. You know, they just added and they hit on so many picks that it made sense to then drop the running back in. And if you remember how excited their GM Brad Holmes was when they drafted him, and everybody was laughing like, you're this excited over a running back? Well, because he knew he was the last piece of their puzzle. Ashton Jeanty wouldn't have been the last piece, far from it. So go take guys that are going to cost less, that hopefully can be just as productive. They're maybe not as good runners as Ashton Jeanty, but in this particular offense, if things flow, you can get a lot of productivity at that position. Now, as far as what it means for Nick Chubb, it's a horrible way to go out. He came back last year and he was a shell of himself. I hope that he rediscovers it, whether it's with the Chicago Bears or whatever team he ends up signing with. I'm rooting for him. I love him. He's everything that you want a professional athlete to be. And just because of the way things worked out here, my guess is that he'll have to do it somewhere else. And it stinks for fans because we love to root for guys like that. But you can't have Nick Chubb be the third running back on a team. Like, can't. Not a special teamer. He's fine at catching the football, but it's not the best thing he does. And if you just spent two draft picks on guys, you got to let them play.
Any chance Jerome Ford gets moved for, say, a wide receiver? Would there be interest in him?
I think that he comes to camp, and I think that he moves if there's an injury somewhere else around the league.
Okay.
And if not, there's going to be a tough decision to be made. Because I like Pierre Strong. I like him a lot. I know he feels a little bit in the Dylan Sampson mold, but I've always liked what he has brought. And I know that Jerome is a good home run hitter, that there's times he bursts through that line and nobody's catching him. But he hasn't been good enough, in my opinion, on, 75% of the snaps to warrant getting, I think you've got two running backs that are better than him right now.
Yeah,
at least.
I agree.
Yeah.
Great work in the draft, as always. And well done,
Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate it, guys.
Chris Rose, NFL Network, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.